on Twitter. Use the handle @by_RyanThorburn. Check the sports section online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. Ryan Thorburn, how are you and the family doing during pandemic summer 2020?
We're hanging in there. I really have no complaints other than, I'd like to get back to normal, but we're making do. We're adjusting to life in 2020. Everything's going well with the family, so I'm happy.
Good. Whoa, that's great to hear. I don't know what that noise was now. I'm scared. Anyway, obviously a very big weekend this past weekend for Duck Hoop fans. We saw the trio of first-round picks make their WNBA debut. But I know, going back about 10 days or so, the Liberty held their media day, and you talked with Sabrina, and we know she expects to win every game. But realistically, like she said, she spoke with you guys about maybe a parallel between this New York team and the Duck team she joined as a freshman.
Yeah, that's one of the fun things about covering college sports is seeing these guys grow up. Now, obviously, we knew when Sabrina committed to Oregon, it was a big deal, and we had an idea, obviously, as the year has gone on, of what a special player he was. But it is fun to see a player you covered since they were 18, 19 years old. Now, all of a sudden, they're the face of a professional league. I noticed Justin Herbert just signed his deal the other day for $26.6 million. I remember interviewing him when he was at Sheldon High School, and he was just hoping for an offer from Oregon and to get on the field at some point for a snap or two. But yeah, getting back to Sabrina, as you recall, that recruiting class at one time had 7 freshmen. Some of them transferred along the way. Obviously, Mallory McGuire was the big name that left, but you hit 3 out of 7 in terms of, really impactful players. Especially Sabrina and Ruthie, and lo and behold, all these years later now, Ruthie and Sabrina are rookies in the WNBA as well as Satu Sabli. So yeah, it is kind of like starting over for all three, especially the top two picks, Sabrina and Satu, because their teams aren't as good. They're going to be kind of thrown into the mix. They're going to have to lead teams that are growing and developing. So it's fun to see, but I can tell you, I've not followed the WNBA that closely over the last 25 years, but I think now more than ever, and not just because we're Oregon-centric, the league is in good hands. You're seeing a lot of players like Breonna Stewart, who's still young, and other stars who have real star power. Della Don in Washington is very popular. So I think the league, it would have been nice to have that momentum from an Oregon-South Carolina championship game and then them going to the WNBA, but I think with so many more eyeballs on them with COVID, I think it's really going to turn out to be a positive for that league going forward.
Yeah, one of the things I'm excited about is people becoming more familiar with Breonna Stewart, who with Della Don out, I think she might be the best player in the world right now. But I wanted to get back to Sabrina because she seemed more comfortable in the second half, and now she faces off with Satu tomorrow. But like I said, when you think of the program you first covered, and now you have the top two picks in the draft, and they're repping Oregon, I mean, how much of a statement is that about what Coach Graves and his people built? And as you know, on the timeline, it really hasn't been that long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's what Kelly Graves does. He develops players into great players like Courtney Vandersloot at Gonzaga, less heralded as a prospect, but obviously she's one of the best players in the WNBA. Then once you're at Oregon, you can recruit a higher caliber player and you start developing talents like Satu and Sabrina, and they're just going to keep churning them out. Obviously, Maite has taken the year off from the WNBA and is in Spain, I believe. But, I was talking to Kelly the other day, just catching up with him, seeing how he was doing. And there's a lot of players at Matthew Knight Arena right now that you're going to get to know over the next few years that are going to be in the same position. So it's just a testament not only to Kelly Graves, but, when a school like Oregon supports women's basketball and makes the right hire, you know, and they had a historically good fan base from the 90s, great things can happen.
Talking with Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. I want to get to football. So you, when you think of your career, Wyoming, Colorado, various newspaper stops, you've been in this region. And I'm always curious, prior to landing in Eugene at the Guard, do you remember, like, your perception of Duck football, I guess, from afar?
Well, that's interesting. I do. My first job out of college was at the Casper Star Tribune in Wyoming, and my sports editor, Ron Goldberg, was actually a UL graduate from the journalism school, and he loved the Ducks, and he was obviously a big fan of the Register Guard. I think he influenced me to always want to come out here because he just loved the Register Guard. He loved Ron Bellamy, all of the classic writers. So I had that perception from him, and, you know, obviously when he was a kid, Oregon football was very bad, but then I moved on to Colorado. I happened to cover the 2001 Fiesta Bowl, so I got an up-close and personal look at the direction things were headed with the support from Nike and the recruiting and Bellotti establishing a really good program on the heels of that 94 Rose Bowl run. So I've been around it from afar, you know. I covered Rick Neuheisel a little bit at Colorado, and I know when he inherited such a great team from Bill McCartney, and they beat the Ducks badly in the Cotton Bowl, and from what I understand, that was a big motivator for Phil Knight and company to to jumpstart it. So I was pretty familiar with the history, but obviously, you know, I think I've been lucky enough to cover some of the great times in Oregon history myself with Mariota and Herbert, and now what they're doing in recruiting and developing NFL talent.
You know, along those lines, one of the topics you wrote about this past week was Duck recruiting. Two major services have them third. I mean, when you think about, and what is it, in three of the past 3 years, they got three of the top five recruits, I think, in program history. And so, but no visits have been allowed, using Zoom as a primary tool. I mean, what do you make of Coach Cristobal and this crew just luring all this historic talent to Eugene?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing because, you know, getting back to the history of Oregon, one thing you do think about is the facilities and Nike and the uniforms, and that gets you in the door with recruits, and that makes them want to come out here and visit. But then you have to shut the door, slam the door with, you know, how you treat them as a person, what their family thinks of trusting their son to you and all that stuff. So it's impressive that they're not doing this with any of that, you know, the facility stuff, the uniforms. It's just hard work via social media and Zoom, and it's pretty amazing that they can make that connection. Now, they were lucky enough, they had a lot of guys visit before COVID where other programs did not, and I think that really helped them, but now they're landing big-time guys that haven't been here, so it's a real testament to Mario Cristobal and his staff, and, you know, you would think if things were getting better, maybe in December, the big-time, some of the big-time programs, you know, USC or Notre Dame or Alabama, maybe try and come in and steal some of these guys, but the way things are going now, I don't see, like, a lot of visits this fall and winter, so I think they can hang on to this, and you know, we thought maybe that Kayvon Thibodeau class was a high water mark. That apparently is just the norm now.
I've seen nationally C.J. Verdell, some services have him, second or third team preseason All-American. They've got some talent at the running back position. You know, Travis Dye, some young guys, Abibi Leikio. And from what I've had a chance to learn about the new coordinator, Joe Moorhead, is it logical to think that while you could call Verdell RB1, there's still going to be plenty of carries to go around for guys to earn it?
Yeah, and I'm glad that CJ's getting some run, and, you know, real Oregon fans appreciate what he does, not only going, you know, through the tackles and protecting with his blocking, protecting Herbert with blocking and catching the ball in the backfield, but I still think he's an underrated player. I mean, he takes a lot of punishment, and he just produces year after year, 2 years in a row, just fantastic seasons. I think it'll be great for him, though, if they're able to maybe lessen the burden on him a little bit more and spread those carries around. You know, they still have Travis Dye. They still have Cyrus Abibi Leikio. You know, they still have Dollars, They're adding even more talent in the recruiting pool. So, yeah, if they can spread that around, that would be great. But I think CJ is one of the best running backs in the Pac-12, bar none.
A couple final thoughts for Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. We mentioned Thibodeau, who's one of those all-time big recruits, started slowly last season. Then when Cumberlander was lost, it just seemed like playing time opened up a little bit more. So from what you saw the first month to the way he finished and now how he's viewed, how impressed were you with his growth and, I guess, what he could actually become?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Sabrina a few minutes ago, and she lived up and exceeded the hype. That kind of reminds me of Kayvon Thibodeau. He's the number one overall prospect, according to ESPN, and he looks every bit the reason why that was the case. He looks like a professional defensive football player as a true freshman. So, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him, and the few times I've been able to talk to him, he's obviously very mature, very well-spoken, has a lot on his mind. I'm sure he has a lot on his mind right now with everything that's going on. So just seems like a very physically and mentally mature person who has a very bright future in whatever he does, and it looks like he's going to do football for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Lastly, might seem pretty apparent, but the fact that, be it Tyler Shuck or the ACC transfer Anthony Brown, as good as this defense is, how much breathing room does that afford the quarterback and offense overall? I mean, because we know one thing, they're not going to need to score 35, 38 points to be competitive with the way this D looks.
Yeah, I think there will be some growing pains. You know, I do think Moorhead is a really good offensive coordinator. His track record speaks to that. I think they'll be productive on offense, but you're replacing a four-year starter who's the number six pick in the draft. So there's some pressure there. I know that Tyler has the room, he has the respect, but there's still some pressure there to lead the team out of Herbert's shadow. You're going to have, you know, some new receivers, some very talented guys that you're going to have to get on the same page with only limited spring, probably limited training camp. And you lose four offensive linemen. So there's going to be some growing pains there. I guess if there's one positive about the mess that COVID's making of the schedule is you don't have to open up with North Dakota State and Ohio State back-to-back. That would have been very difficult. And you're going to have some extra time maybe to get ready. So I think Tyler will be fine as long as people don't expect him to be the next Herbert. And I don't think they will. I think Herbert wasn't expected to be the next Mariota. He was just the best Justin Herbert, and that turned out great. So I really like Tyler, though, and his future as well. I think he's a very talented, very smart guy. It'd be interesting to see how he handles this opportunity.
Folks, he's Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard on Twitter. It's at @by_RyanThorburn. Catch his act in the sports section of the Register Guard, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. Ryan, I always appreciate your time and insight. Wishing you and your family well.